I encourage you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to look at three verses of Scripture. We've been doing a series on Wednesday nights entitled Six Sweeping Statements Concerning Prayer. And we've been looking specifically at the Gospels relative to the Lord Jesus Christ's statements concerning prayer. I hope that they've been an encouragement to you. I know in my own heart and life, it's been a reminder of the glories that we have in Jesus Christ, the privileges that we have to go to Him in prayer, knowing that we have a hearing. You know, it would be very discouraging if we were told, we're sorry, but you can't talk to the Father. Can you imagine that? You were trying to make a plea to a judge, and they came back and said, we're sorry, but the judge won't see you. Judge is not interested in listening to you. Well, we have a Father that will hear and answer our request. I want us to look at three verses here in chapter 15 of John, verses 15, 16, and 17. This is the fifth in our series of sweeping statements from the Gospels. The fifth one, verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the privilege that we have to open your precious word and learn more about thee. Learn more about our relationship with Thee and the privileges that we enjoy concerning this matter of prayer. We ask, dear Father, that You would help us to understand our relationship and that we might be brave and bold to go into Your presence on a daily and hourly basis to bring our requests before Thee, knowing that You hear and answer when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ and for His glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Normally, in Old Testament times and even in New Testament times, a slave who was hired or actually bought or purchased to work for a man was not very close to the individual. Now, we see a few examples in the Bible where those relationships were different. For instance, Joseph. Joseph had a very different relationship with Potiphar. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Genesis 39 that Joseph understood and knew that Potiphar didn't even know what he had in his house. We're told in that passage, he doesn't know, you know, how much food's here. He doesn't know anything about it. And he's given everything to me to run except for his wife. And she was wanting him to be involved with her. And he said, I refuse. My master has trusted me with everything, and my heavenly master I will not sin against. There are a few times that you see that. There are relationships, for instance, with Daniel as a captive. He was allowed to see the inner workings of the government. But by and large, servants knew little about their master's decision-making process. They knew little about why they made decisions. They were not privy to that information because they were a slave. And the Bible makes that clear here in verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. In other words, the servant's not privileged. The slave is not privileged to find out the inner workings of the decision-making processes whereby the leader, the master, chooses to operate his business. But notice this, please. With that thought in mind, notice what he says about the relationship that we have with him as his children. But I have called you friends. Now, we need to stop for just a moment. That word, friends, is the Greek word philos, all right? We get the Greek word phileo, Philadelphia, the city of what? Brotherly love, all right? Philos in the New Testament Greek simply means loved one, beloved. It's translated friends here. There's normally another Greek word that's used that's often translated friends, but this word philos means beloved one. Tender love, emotional type of love that we see pictured here. He says, I have called you loved ones, phileo, philos, coming from that same Greek word. An adjective to describe his children. Now you say, oh, wait a minute. Did not the Apostle Paul in his epistles often refer to himself as Paul, a servant of the Lord? Now we need to understand very clearly, there are two views in the New Testament scriptures about our relationship. There is our understanding of our relationship, and there is God's understanding toward us. Our relationship. Paul said, I am a servant of the Lord. Now he knew. Turn over to Ephesians very quickly, chapter 1. I want you to see here that he knew of God's view of the relationship. That he calls us friends, loved ones, beloved. Look at verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. That's a relationship. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. What is that? Adoption. That's a new relationship, is it not? Here's a child that was a child of the devil, and Jesus Christ in his mercy and love adopts us and takes us away from the family of the devil and puts us in his family. That's a brand new relationship. Completely different from what we had before. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us. Now notice how many times he said us in this passage. He's talking about a relationship. God the Father, through Jesus Christ, has a relationship with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now Paul knew very well his new relationship in Jesus Christ. But he often, and just about every one of his epistles, said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's our view of our Father. We desire to follow him and obey his every word. That's our understanding. Yes, we know that in Christ Jesus, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But we also know our place. God, Creator. We are what? The created ones. We have to understand that place. So there is our view of God, and then God's statement toward us. He said, I call you not servants. In other words, Jesus had opened himself to his disciples, and the title slave did not fit their new relationship. What title fit it? Friends. Now I'm laying the groundwork here for something that he's going to show us here in verse 16. This is very important. Jesus had opened himself to his disciples. The title slave did not fit the new relationship. When Paul spoke of himself as a servant of the living God, he had a different idea in mind. He meant he was willing and humbly serving and obeying God as a slave to his master. Now, a redeemed man's view is slave to master. But we also know that in Jesus Christ, we have a new relationship. And he uses the word philos to describe it. It's a beautiful word. Don't ever run away from phileo. All right? Both words, phileo and agape, are used by God in the New Testament, and especially by John, to describe our relationship with God the Father. There is that agape, that sacrificial love that was demonstrated, God showing love toward us. It's an act of the will. He looks at us and he sees this ungodly, sinful flesh that curses him. And he looks down from heaven. He says, I will love them. I will send my only begotten Son to die for them. All right? He doesn't see anything lovely in us. He sees the loveliness of his Son superimposed upon the sinner. Now, that's agape love. That's the kind of love that looks beyond the sinner's condition and says, I'm going to love them in spite of their sin. But you know what? There's another love that comes in, and that's phileo love. That's the tender love of God where He reaches down and with all the emotion of God in heaven, He brings you unto Himself and He calls you His own. He calls you philos, friend. That is a term of endearment. I've often said that in the New Testament, oftentimes you'll see the word Abba. Abba. You know what Abba was? The Hebrew children, when they were learning to say dad. Now, my kids always said daddy. All right? Daddy. Now, some people have different nicknames their kids will call them or whatever. But my kids, whenever they said mama first, that was normal. You know, every dad hopes that one of the kids will say daddy first. But the Hebrew children, when they were learning to say daddy, they would say Ab, Abba. Ab, Ab. All right? Eventually become Abba. It was a term of endearment. I tell you, as a parent, dad, you hear that call come through the house? For me, it's the most wonderful sound. Most wonderful sound to hear dad. And you know what? The wonderful sound for us as God's children is to hear friends, philos. Because see, as a sinner, I'm under God's wrath, but through Jesus Christ, when I am redeemed, I become philos. And that puts me in a brand new relationship. And it is told us here in verse 16 that this new relationship means something. It means you can go to your Father and you can ask of Him and He will give it to you if you pray in the name of Jesus. That new relationship, and it's indicated to us in this passage that even before the foundation of the world, He had a prayer partnership in His heart and mind, determined in Christ Jesus. This prayer partnership would be that God would supply to us everything that we needed in order to bear much fruit. Do you see that in verse 16? Notice this again. Ye have not chosen me. All right, stop for just a moment now. Some people get all bent out of shape about election. But Jesus makes it very clear that I did not choose Him. He chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, there's no problem. Dr. Ironside used to put it this way. He said, you know, that on the doorpost, all right, said, whosoever will may come on the doorpost of heaven. And then when you look on the other side of the doorpost, you look back as you go into heaven's gate, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Both statements are true. All right? Both statements are true. Whosoever will may come. We proclaim the message to all. But you know what? When you look back, you see chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I don't get bent out of shape about election. The Bible teaches it. I'm just simple enough to believe it. But I also know this. Whosoever will may come. Okay? Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so thankful for that. Preach it to every one of our students. Santa Rosa Christian School. Teach it in Sunday school. Preach it from the pulpit. That God in love sent His Son to redeem lost sinners. And so both of them are balanced perfectly in God. And I'm happy with that. He had before the foundation of the world a desire. He chose us. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." God had our prayer partnership with himself in his mind in choosing us. Meditate on that, would you? I want to encourage you, meditate on that. He had our prayer partnership with himself in his mind in choosing us. He would give to us everything that we need to bring forth much fruit. What did he give to us? He gave to us this book. He gave it to us that we might know how to bring forth fruit and that our fruit should remain. But I don't only have the written Word of God. I've got the written Word in Jesus Christ. I made joint heirs with Him, and I am now Philos. And I can go to my Father, and I can seek His face, and desire everything that I need to honor and please Him. Now, folks, that's a sweeping statement about prayer, is it not? He planned a prayer partnership with His Son before the foundation of the world, because we find that the choosing took place when? Before the foundation of the world. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 said. Before the foundation. So in that choosing, He desires for us to pray and to seek His face, and He will supply what we need whereby we can live for Him and honor Him and be pleasing to Him and have all that we need as His children to be able to do what we're supposed to do while we're here on this earth breathing His air and walking on this earth. There's no reason for you to be a spiritual pauper tonight. There's no reason at all. You have every resource at your disposal. The revealed Word of God, the privilege of prayer, that you can talk to Him. You ever woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't get back to sleep? Who can you talk to in the middle of the night? You know, there's been many nights where I had a tug on the sheet, pulling, "Daddy, I don't feel good." Go see your mother. Okay? Go see your mama. Kids really don't want to see Daddy in the middle of the night. They want to see Mama. They're much better rockers, and they have a lot more comfortable lap than us guys do. But I want to tell you something. You know, children have to wake us up, but you never have to wake God up. Never. You can go to Him anytime, day or night, because He planned before the foundation of the world a prayer partnership whereby He would supply to you all that you need to bring forth much fruit. Isn't that wonderful? God's taking care of everything. Don't live like a spiritual pauper. Live like a son. Oh yes, we're servants of God, but we also understand our relationship in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time together. Lord, how we rejoice in answered prayer. And Father, we do thank You for the special relationship that You have deigned to call us friends, that we are in a special relationship of love. And I pray, Father, that we would not live as if we were strangers to Thee, but rather as Your children, knowing this wonderful relationship that we can come to Thee in the name of Jesus Christ and seek Thy face and pray, knowing that we have a hearing and that You will answer our prayer requests. Father, bless Your Word. We pray that You'd watch over our people. We pray that You would protect from sickness. And we pray, Father, that You would help us to be effective witnesses. We stand before a lost and dying world. Every moment of every day, there are people that are dying and going to a devil's hell. Help us to care enough to have compassion for those around us, to give them the gospel of the grace of God. And we ask this all in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.